I know. A reading from Acts, beginning at verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near to it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is some water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down to the water, and Philip baptized him. When he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Pokoronga ki te kupu ata wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Te rongapai tapu ki te ritinga a John, te tiko marima upoko ka timata tahi. The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. The words of Jesus. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Te rongapai tēnei a te karaiti. This is the gospel of Christ.
Thank you, Sue, and welcome, Bruce.
Thank you. And as always, great privilege and pleasure to be able to share with you this morning. Over recent weeks, we've been looking at what it's like to live with Jesus. So 2 weeks ago, can you remember back that far? Penny was speaking, and she talked about Jesus the healer. And she encouraged us to be expectant of God when healing is needed. Last week, It was Helen. And Helen preached about the care of the good shepherd and how the sheep know the shepherd's voice. Today we're in John 15 with the beautiful image of the grapevine and the concept of being vitally connected in Christ so we can be fruitful for him. I came across a story last week about another vital connection. It involves the biggest EV in New Zealand. And it's not a car. It's an electric shovel at Macraes Gold Mine in Otago. It's an impressive beast. Its scoop can lift 38 tonnes. It's several times heavier than Shane Jones, who is standing in front of the bucket. There's obviously a lot of gold in them there hills, because it cost the gold mine $10 million. The intriguing thing is that these days, most of us are enjoying the freedom and convenience of battery power for our household tools. Being unconnected from a power lead is seen as being highly desirable. But the gold mine has gone back to the future, because this machine needs to run 24/7 and battery power won't cut it. The Hitachi electric shovel comes complete with a jumbo-sized power cable, a 1 kilometre long heavy-duty extension lead that is connected to a 6,000 volt feed. That's a short lead. In the Australian mines, they're up to 2.5 kilometres long. In media articles in the Otago Daily Times, comments were made about how the mine operators have taken some time to learn how to work safely, as there are multiple vehicles running around and there is a 1 kilometre extension cord trailing through the mine. Some of those vehicles have damaging steel tracks. Some of those vehicles are huge trucks that are carrying the 38-tonne scoops of gold-bearing ore. If the connection is damaged, the consequences will be unwanted downtime or possibly electrocution. 6,000 volts. So I can imagine there is at least one guy running around in a little ute whose main job is cable protection. Keep out of the way of the cable. Or red cones here, barriers there. Maintaining and preserving that connection is paramount. Because if connection is lost, that $10 million machine can do absolutely nothing. So to the grapevine. Just a few verses before today's grapevine reading, Jesus has been talking with the disciples about the empowering Holy Spirit. Jesus is about to leave, but the Holy Spirit will be an advocate. And he lives in you and will be in you. Further, Jesus reveals the amazing interconnectedness between God and us. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. This is scarcely believable, that the Creator of the universe would not only stoop down to be involved in human affairs, but he would put his Holy Spirit in my sin-damaged frame so that my spirit would be joined with Almighty God. How do we get our heads around that? Today's reading provides a beautiful picture of the way we are joined together with Christ. In this picture, Jesus goes out of his way to emphasize the importance of remaining connected to him. We are in vital connection with him, or when we are in vital connection with him, we will be fruitful. From the reading about the grapevine, you may have noticed a couple of important words that were repeated several times. They are the word fruit and the word remain. In some versions of the Bible, the word abide is used. abiding in the vine. Abide has the flavour of clinging to and living with. Unfortunately, it's not a word we use much these days, so modern translators have gone with the word remain. Anyway, listen as I go through the reading again and count the key words on two hands. I suggest remain on your right hand and fruit on your left. Here we go. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So, how did you go with those numbers? In our passage, Jesus repeats the word fruit seven times, and the word remain eight times. Great counting class. It's a beautiful picture of a vine that's designed to be fruitful, from branches that must remain connected to the vine. It's from the vine's trunk that all life and nourishment flows. The branches can't just be attached on a Sunday and then detach themselves. They must remain on the vine, and that's what's required of us, to remain vitally connected with Jesus. The word that Jesus uses by far the most is actually the word you, which appears 18 times in that reading. So we know exactly who he's talking to. It was a personal and direct message to the 11 disciples and to all disciples who read these words down through the ages. Jesus is saying to us, to you, remain vitally connected to me and you will be fruitful. Interestingly, Judas was not present for this teaching. He was actually a practical example of the grapevine principle. Somehow, despite everything he had experienced in 3 years with Jesus, he had not remained connected. He was not abiding with Christ. Earlier in the evening, this disciple was dismissed from the scene of the Last Supper with the words, "What you're about to do, do quickly." So the message of the grapevine and the importance of remaining vitally connected with Jesus was lost on Judas. The message is for true believers and for those who have ears to hear. So how do we cultivate a vital connection with Jesus? I think it's all to do with relationship building, which is one of the things that Helen emphasized in the relationship between the Good Shepherd and his sheep. We know the recipe for this relationship building. It's not rocket science. Prayer is essential. Talking regularly to the Lord and taking time to listen. Regular Bible reading is essential. Learning to know the mind of God and how we are to live. Obedience is essential, putting into practice what we read, what we already know. And being involved with church or a faith community and enjoying being connected in worship, fellowship and service is also so important. We need to make every effort to make sure we are well connected with Jesus. In our reading about Philip and the Ethiopian, we see an example of an extremely fruitful young man who was bringing glory to God. He must have been well pruned, and he must have had a vital connection with the Spirit of Jesus. The background to the story is the incredible growth of the new church that emerges after the resurrection. As we know, in Acts chapter 2, 3,000 people are added to the church. And later in chapter 4, 5,000 more are added. In chapter 6, the church is still growing. They've basically got a mega church overnight. But Christ's mandate was not to grow a mega church in Jerusalem. It was to spread out. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. So the apostles appoint 7 men to be responsible for pastoral care and administration. Men who are known to be full of the Spirit and wisdom. And Philip is one of them. Then persecution breaks out. Like pruning, it's uncomfortable. What's going on, Lord? But Philip is obviously not disillusioned or discouraged. He responds admirably. His first mission is to go to Samaria with preaching and miracles, where revival breaks out. Then just as things are going really well and another huge church is starting to develop, God calls him away for a specific one-on-one mission on a desert road. So just picking up a little extract from our reading. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandaki, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." So Philip ran up to the chariot. Philip has a vital connection with Christ. He listens to the Spirit. He obeys. He even runs when he knows God's direction. Philip's obviously a man of grace and broad-mindedness. Firstly, he's been ministering to the Samaritans, and now it's an Ethiopian eunuch. And lo and behold, the Ethiopian is reading Suffering Servant 101, Isaiah chapter 53. Philip is listening to the Spirit's guidance. He's quick to obey, and he knows how to explain the scriptures. Before you know it, there's a baptism, and the gospel is starting on its journey towards the ends of the earth as the Ethiopian treasure heads on his way rejoicing to the African continent. And for Philip, well, God's Spirit has another job for him. He's available and listening, and God whisks him away on his next adventure. So in summary, the grapevine allegory is a beautiful picture of the importance of remaining in vital connection with Christ. He's the vine and the source of life. We are the branches designed for fruitfulness. Philip's life is a great example of fruitfulness and obedience. And I believe this is because he had a vital connection with the Spirit of Jesus. He listened. He knew his Bible. He was available. he was involved in service. And thirdly, the parable of the electric shovel emphasises the importance of protecting that vital connection. How's your vital connection with Jesus? Because having that connection is a part of the normal Christian life. Are you enjoying the Bible and daily prayer? You can really enjoy it, and that's how we remain connected. Do you ever pause and listen for his voice and direction? He's wanting us to. So today, after the service, as always, there will be prayer available at the front. And if anyone needs a boost in deepening that vital connection with the Lord, then I suggest you come forward and have someone pray for you, because this really is where the rubber meets the road, that we remain vitally connected with Jesus. Amen.